B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number three of the program coming up on 4:05 in the evening here in Boston. Maz and I are on remote. Big Jim from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. And joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is our buddy Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal. What's up, big boy?
What's up, fellas?
The bigger boy.
So you tell me, what is the NFL doing here? On one hand, full steam ahead. Training camp is scheduled, season as scheduled, fans in the stands. Oh, but by the way, our first game canceled, Hall of Fame game canceled. You know, what sort of game are they playing here, do you think?
Well, I think in the Hall of Fame game, it's an outlier in terms of, you know, the two teams would have to travel. It's off-site. It's not controllable. They're trying to stick with what they can control as much as possible. As far as, you know, I just got off the conference call with the NFL. I mean, what Jeff Pasch said, I mean, it's no shock. I mean, Jeff Pasch has been, since probably February or March, has been like, oh, we're playing on time, full schedule, everything. I mean, you know, I think he might have been the captain of the Titanic and didn't see the iceberg coming. But in any event, you know, they are going ahead right now with July 28th, reporting date for the training camp. But I don't know if that's... I don't think that's completely set in stone. They don't even have a plan yet. They haven't announced any plans. They haven't announced any plans among themselves. And also, I think the NFLPA has a say in that. I just reached out to their spokesman to get a comment on that. But I think the NFLPA wants to see the plans. They want a hand in it. I know they are part of the process at this point, but I don't think they've signed off and told their players, like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever the NFL does. So I still think there's a ways to go.
Have you heard anything interesting about, I don't know, start times, delays, or the protocols coming back? And one, you know, silly thing that just pops into my head is those helmets. Have you seen those, like, Darth Vader helmets that they've and not Darth Vader. What's his name, Murray? What's the new one?
Kylo Ren, yeah.
Kylo Ren. Yes, yeah. The Kylo Ren helmets. Like, you know, anything like that.
Nothing that's mandatory. I know they are working on those things, and they said on the conference call that they are working with equipment manufacturers to see what they might be able to come up with. But as far as what I've heard that's interesting, you know, even people within the Patriots, they aren't sure when they're going to start. I mean, they left for summer break, and Belichick basically was like, I don't have a clue what's going to happen. I think the even money among people that I've talked with around the league is that due to the preseason and probably the next domino of the fall will be the preseason shrinking by two games is why the need to report July 28th then. The even money is that everything will start almost 2 weeks late, and that may or may not include the regular season as well.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you that, Greg, that, you know, what's your gut? Do you think the season is going to start on time?
I mean, I know what NFL people, you know, want or what their beliefs are, but the thing is like what overrules everything in this league is the greed of Goodell, the people around him, and the owners. I mean, these people have never been told no ever in their life, and they think that everything the NFL does is the right thing. I mean, you know, look how long it took them to recognize that they were wrong about Colin Kaepernick and the flag and the anthem and things like that. So, you know, they are just going to go full steam ahead. The owners are going to want their money. They're going to want the full season. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think they win out. But I just – my whole – approach to this in my wish for the NFL the whole time was like, you guys, look, you guys have had the benefit of time the entire time. I mean, from when it hit, it was after your season. It didn't affect anything. You were the luckiest league in the world. Don't push it. Why not let baseball come back? And why not let basketball and hockey come back a little bit earlier, gather data, learn lessons so that you can have a full season whenever that is, or, you know, 12 to 16 games, whatever it is, that you can do it right, because so far you've been lucky. But they're just not going to do that. They're going to go full steam ahead, even if they don't have the data. They're just going to do what they're going to do.
Okay, Greg, but Greg, again, what does your gut tell you? Because they can play a whole season, Greg, and not start on time, right? They can back up the Super Bowl. So just instinctively, do you think they're going to start on time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time I talked to you guys, I think that I said that I thought the season was going to start October 1st, and things were going to be pushed back, or it might be cut by a couple games. I would say my gut right now tells me that I think training camp starts a couple weeks late, with the preseason cutting back by two games, and the season gets pushed back 2 weeks, but it's a full schedule. And, you know, I think they end up lasting the duration, and the season gets played, just everything gets pushed back about 2 weeks.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick, the social justice initiatives, and that, you know, big story. Most teams, most coaches have released statements and have said something publicly. Bill Belichick has not. How do you think that is playing in the Patriots locker room? How does it play with you personally?
Well, I mean, me personally, just because, you know, I view Bill Belichick as, you know, I mean, he's the greatest NFL coach of all time, and he has a lot of sway, and he does a lot of good when he chooses to with his foundation, and you know, I respect all that, and he has become more active in that area in his later years, and I have a great deal of respect for that. And just because of his name and the cachet, you know, I wish he would be more of a leader, because I know how he feels and what he's saying to his players behind the scenes. His father, I was just reading in the offseason, Belichick biography, and his father was one of the, you know, was sort of one of the best guys at reaching across and making African-American soldiers feel comfortable during the war, when a lot of guys were being racist. So I know the history there. I know what he's saying to his players, and I just wish he would say it publicly, because I think it would have a lot of sway around the league. I'm not surprised that he hasn't released a statement, just because he knows that he just, it's whatever it is for his team. Like, he knows that all he cares about is his team. He just thinks he just needs to deal with them. And I know, like, you know, I greatly respect Chris Gasper's opinion on this, and he should certainly be heard. But, you know, I was texting with Chris because I heard him comparing, well, Nick Saban's released a statement. Well, to play devil's advocate, Nick Saban has to recruit and maintain, you know, a roster that's predominantly black. And Bill Belichick doesn't have to do that. I mean, the guys have to play for him. So I understand. I see a difference there. And I think Bill is just like, well, I don't need to say anything. My guys know the way I feel, and I'm just not going to say anything.
How do you feel about Tom Brady working out in Tampa and maybe increasingly thumbing his nose at health officials, never mind his own union? I mean, today he was back out working out, and he put on his Instagram an FDR quote, "Nothing to fear but fear itself," almost thumbing his nose at the virus. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, even the NFL's chief medical officer, Alan Sills, was asked about it today, and while he didn't mention Brady specifically, he was basically said, we agree with the union's position, which is there shouldn't be group workouts. I mean, he didn't name Brady individually, and, you know, I agree with that. But, look, we all know the score. The Patriots didn't want Tom Brady at the end of the day. He did not have much of a free agent market. People do not believe that he's going to work there at his age over, you know, the course of a full season or two seasons. And just like always, he's out to prove everybody's is wrong, and that's the only thing he's worried about at this point. So it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I just, you know, it would have been nice to see him do it the past couple of years in New England as well.
I'm into that. How about Stidham? Any thought about him being in Texas now and not doing what Tom Brady's doing?
No, you know, I'm not going to criticize the guy before, you know, he's really even done anything. You know, would I have liked to have seen him here working with guys in the off season. Yeah, I mean, just because I same with Brady. I just want to see my quarterback be the hardest worker on the team and transcend everything and be a leader and all that stuff. And who knows? Maybe that's not Stidham. I don't know. I don't know him that well. The players that I've talked to don't really know him that well. But there has to be a reason why he went back home or is going back home. I just don't know that, and I don't want to criticize the guy without really talking to him about it.
Greg, real quick, you know what I want to ask you? Do you think there's still any shot they trade Joe Tooney or Mohamed Sanu, given the injuries that have popped up for the Eagles and the Niners and how there's been some speculation there?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a chance. I mean, look, I mean that $15 million for Tooney this year is not going anywhere. And if Bill Belichick, you know, had a spur of his ass about paying Wes Welker $9.5 million and the amount of balls he would catch every year, can you imagine how he feels about, at the end of the day, how he has to pay a guard $15 million when he has another guy in Shaq Mason making a ton of money also? Something is going to need to be done there. I know there have not been any contract extension talks. The Patriots have told Tooney that they are interested in that. That was a while ago. There have been no further talks. They don't expect them to start around until, you know, July 15th, but that's the deadline. I just don't know what's going to happen. I think they're going to get to camp. They're hoping to get to camp, see what they have among the other guys, and if they have cheaper options that'll work, then Tooney's going to be on the block, and the Eagles would make a lot of sense because they just lost one of the best guards in the league in Brandon Brooks.
So, Greg, just quickly, are you suggesting Tooney's overpaid?
Well, I mean, look, if I was running the team, I'm not paying a guard $15 million a year.
Oh, there's one of your guys, Greg.
Hey, that doesn't excuse the fact that he's tremendous and was one of the best players on the Patriots, regardless of position last year. It's just, I'm not paying no guard $15 million.
Right. He's just a guard. Just a guard, Greg. I know that's hard for you to say. Thanks for taking
big
the time, buddy.
Big boy, coming up big.
All right, see you, boys.
See you later. Greg Bedard here on Felger and Maz. We'll go back to the phone. Do you want to weigh in on the Bubba Wallace thing? By all means, you want to weigh in on Tom Brady. Again, Murray, reset what Tom Brady tweeted out today.
It's more, you know, stuff from his workouts. There's photos of him working with Gronk. And then in his Instagram story, it's him drinking from a TB12 water bottle with the FDR quote from his inauguration way back in the day. We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
So is he implying that the people who are being really cautious about coronavirus are being a bunch of pusses?
Yep.
Yeah, wussies. Yeah,
that's the way I read it.
Wussies. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so how do you feel about that, folks? 617-779-0985.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Maz, what's that wisecrack you wanted to get in before the break there?
Well, I said, no, there's a special offer right now. If you buy the TB12 immunity powder, you get $40 off the bag of nuts. So in case you're wondering, you can get the nuts now and the powder for just the price of the nuts. You know, it's $150. You get both as opposed to paying $190. I mean, that's a good deal. You got to look into that, Mike. That's a good deal.
Are you
$190 for nuts and powder.
Are you put off nuts on the nothing to fear but fear itself?
Look, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I told you that Brady using the pandemic to try to sell immunity powder.
Well, but I don't think that's a sell. I think that's a taunt almost. Like, you guys are soft, you know?
Well, Mike had an Instagram story up the other day where he's out on the field practicing, and the final picture of it was the immunity powder.
Yeah.
So I sort of put the whole thing together that Brady's out there on the field in the middle of the pandemic while numbers are exploding in Florida, as if to say, I'm still going to work because I'm using this. So you should be like me. I mean, that's how I take it. And again, now look, I'm not good for him for going out and working out. That's great. But I also think that, look, here's my point. Is it about the workouts or is it about the publicity? Which one's it about for Brady?
Yeah,
and the answer is both.
Right, it is both.
Right? But he could very easily be putting in all the work to prepare for the season and you know, recharging and resurrecting himself, if that's what you're going to call it, having a little bit of a renaissance.
Well, I mean,
he could very easily be doing that without putting Instagram stories out there with every detail and certainly his own product line.
I mean, who he's taunting is his union. He's taunting his union because it was his union who said, no more practices. You know, it's not safe. And he goes out, practices 2 days later, and then again the next day, and then tweets out nothing to fear but fear itself. He's basically sticking his ass in the doctor's face who works for the union, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he based on how he negotiated with the Patriots, he stuck his ass in the union's face for 20 years. So, you know, he was only interested in, and look, I'm not criticizing him for it. He put a premium on winning, and that's how the Patriots conducted business. But there are a lot of other guys that, many of them who played in Foxborough, who went to the negotiating table, and the response they got from the other side was, well, Tom takes less. So, you know, Brady's not much of a union guy. I'm not sure he ever has been.
There's a potential positive here, though, too, in that if he and these guys, all these Buccaneers players that are working out, you know, they you can look at them as an experiment for the impact of the virus on teams. If they can isolate, practice each day, and not get it,
yes,
that's a good thing.
Yes.
Sure, it's a good point.
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of it. I think it's great
that
Brady's
too.
Working out. I think it's tremendous.
But I did think
I'm not against the workouts. I just think it's worth noting that he wants everybody to know it. That's all.
And I did think that took some balls, though, using that quote today, because I don't know how you can read that any other way than, hey, buy this Protect. You can be like me, you puss bags. Get out there. Thumb your nose at the virus.
So he's part of a sell job. And just real quick on the union thing there, Maz, it seems like he was sure interested in using their lawyers when he almost went to the Supreme Court over his deflated balls.
Well, so that's true, right, when they could serve him. But it didn't feel to me like he was ever interested in giving much back.
Okay, phones. Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to weigh in on the Patriots. I mean, this thing with Brady down there in Tampa, you know, making a spectacle out of how hard he's working, hardest working guy in football once again. I mean, the Buccaneers, when I look at this thing, you look at the strength of schedule between them and the Patriots, the talent down there, the fact Brady's down there putting in the work with his receivers. I mean, it's almost inevitable that Buccaneers team is going to do better than the Patriots this year, assuming that they play. And I feel like, you know, Bill, I know he's the greatest coach ever, but the conversation people are going to have, assuming that that's what happens, is, you know, Gronk came out of retirement to go down there. People couldn't stand it up here in New England. Look, they're doing better, and it's just going to reflect bad on Bill. I hope they do well. I hope he has the answers, but I feel like all the pressure's on him this year. What do you guys think?
Oh, there's tons of pressure on Bill. More on Bill than Brady. But it doesn't all reflect poorly on Bill. When Tom House, his throwing coach, read that text from Brady that we played for you earlier, and when they traded for Gronkowski, Brady texted Tom House and said, football's fun for me again. I look at that and go, aw, wah. It wasn't fun. All the winning wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. All the success, all the excellence, the pairing of you and Belichick, as hard as it was, led to the most accomplishment just about of anyone in the history of sports, and it wasn't fun. Aw, poor guy. So I sort of look at Brady on that. I do. The publicizing the workout is not just to stick it in Bill's face, though. It's also to sell some product, Mass. It's also to promote the brand and show. So, you know, for him to be considered successful, and I think he's going to, you know, after watching these workouts, too, I think he's going to have an amazing year. You know, a motivated, hyper-motivated Tom Brady, that's a scary thing. With a good team around him and a quarterback-friendly coach, like, I think he's going to rep it. I do. And I don't think he needs to win a Super Bowl to validate it. I think he just needs to show that he's a great 43-year-old quarterback. But anyway, I think the publicizing it here is to show Bill, but also the brand. He now has full, unfettered ability to promote his brand, and I think that's what this is as well.
Yeah, again, and he's promoting an immunity supplement or a dietary supplement, and in the name of immunity in the midst of a pandemic. It just feels a little sleazy.
Miles in Westboro. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, just a real quick question for you guys. Do you think the linchpin could be Gronkowski? He said that football wasn't fun enough, and he didn't want to be with the Patriots because they didn't let him have fun. But now he's going to be down in Tampa. Let's say Gronkowski goes out and whoops it up and parties all the time, and then it starts becoming a problem in the locker room. Do you think there's a little discord between him and Brady?
No. Hell no. That's why they escaped. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get out from the shadow, the gloom of Bill Belichick and the working conditions under Bill Belichick. This is what they want.
I think the Gronk thing's being underplayed in how good he looks. Just in these photos that Brady's putting up, he looks in phenomenal shape.
Yeah? He's back on his program?
He's packed on some beef. He's got some muscle back on him and those arms of his.
So, but I'll tell you, though, like what I think the caller was saying, I don't know, maybe, again, my ears might not be working well today, or my brain. It wouldn't be the first time. But if you're a team and you're playing in the middle of a pandemic, do you worry about Gronk going off a reservation on Monday night or Sunday night?
Great point. Absolutely. He's just the guy. Dude, can you stay out of the club for a couple months? Is it possible for that guy to stay out of the? I mean, he invented the nipple shot of tequila off the tank top at the wet T-shirt contest. You know, that's the guy. Can he possibly keep it in his pants? But just the whole Brady fun thing. That's not Brady has fun with Gronk because the way they play together. I don't think Brady parties with Gronk. I mean, unless I'm wrong about that.
I don't think he'd be able to keep up.
Okay, exactly. Who could? We continue with your thoughts. I wanted to win a couple quick Red Sox items, in which I think Red Sox executives today may have hinted that they still think there's a chance for fans to be in the stands for baseball games this year. Unless I heard that wrong. I want to get to that with your calls right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the program. Coming up on 4:38 in the afternoon. Maz and I on remote. Murray from our Townford Terrace studios in Dorchester. I'm going to apologize in advance for some Red Sox sound we're about to play. It's really slow and it's really boring, but what do you expect? It's baseball. So why would their executives be anything different than the game itself? But be that as it may, I spat out my coffee today. I wasn't even drinking any when Sam Kennedy said, "We're hopeful to have fans at some point. We need fans at Fenway Park." He said, and what I spat it out, Maz, is then what do we just do for the last 3 months with this back and forth with the players?
Right.
Look, you're going to have fans after all? Like, or you think you can have fans after all? Like, holy crap. Do you have to go back to the players on that one? Because you guys sure couldn't figure that out the first time. But either way, when Kennedy said that, I think John Tomasi had the exact same reaction because he then followed that up, and here's the response. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Sam, if I could just go back to the idea of fans in the stands for 1 second. How do you justify that, given that all of the rancor for the last 3 months was about not playing in front of fans? You know, how do you justify having them suddenly? Are the players okay with that? And what kind of message does that send to the fans that you spent all this time fighting over that, and then there could conceivably be fans anyway?
Yeah, well, I want to make sure I'm clear. I hope that we can have fans back in the stands because of the competitive advantage that it gives you to have fans. But I don't know that we will. I also, it's probably a little bit of me personally just projecting my own hope that fans will be back at Fenway Park. I just anticipate it being extremely odd when we get going playing Major League Baseball games in front of no fans and being a strange environment. So, but it is, I think, important that if we do it, if we can do it, we do it in a safe and responsible way. Following CDC guidelines with social distancing and cleanliness and face coverings and the like. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's incredibly important that we start when it's safe to start to try and get back to some sense of normalcy. And I know for me, that has always been going to baseball games. And I think our fans want that. And ultimately, I think our players want that. I think we all want to start to try and get back to some sense of normalcy when it's safe and appropriate. And just to be clear, again, I don't have a timetable on that, but I personally hope it's as soon as humanly possible.
So they're serious about this. They think it's going to happen. Didn't Marty Walsh come out and say, you know, point blank, there'll be no fans at Fenway Park this year?
Yeah, early on, I think at one point he did say that. I, you know, we were talking earlier about the Patriots and sales pitches, or the NFL and sales pitches with fans, and, you know, by sticking to the calendar and saying we're going to start on time and et cetera, et cetera. I think that's what happened yesterday.
You think that's what that is?
Yeah, I do. I think it was Sam's way of saying, you know, we want fans engaged, and, you know, we're hoping to have fans back in the stands. And then when John Tomasi laid it out the way he did, I think Sam sort of caught himself and went, oh, I didn't even think of that.
What was the fight over?
So he had to tap dance a little bit to get out of it. But, you know, the idea of fans at Fenway Park this year to me is
it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just totally outlandish. I don't think there's any shot of it happening. Zero.
Well, so let me ask you, even if they could, just play along. Is it fair that some teams could have fans and other teams couldn't?
No.
I mean, I would have to think they would have to have the whole league be able to do it, or no one could do it. I don't know, just from a competitive standpoint.
So you know, go back to that March agreement between the commissioner and the union, or MLB and the union. I think it specified that all 30 markets, Mike. Now that you say that, I think it was in that agreement that they'd have to be able to, you know, play safely in all 30 markets. So I wonder if that is a prerequisite. I can't imagine they would let fans in some stadiums and not in others. I just can't imagine they would. I don't think it's going to happen anywhere.
And primarily because, well, for that, because I, frankly, and maybe I have too much trust in my local officials, but I think we can kind of pull it off, because I just think we've approached it in a very cautious, measured manner, and, you know, we're in better shape now because of it. And I just, you know, I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but I think if they opened Fenway to, what, call it 10,000 fans, that for the most part, we'd be able to pull it off. I do. I think we would. But if how could Fenway do it and not, you know, you can't do it in Florida. I keep saying this, like, to say fans in the stands, like, it's easy here. There's a third of the states in the country, the virus numbers are as bad as they've ever been. Like, they're going back to peak numbers in some of these places. You can't bring people into the stands, you know, in that case.
How many new cases in California yesterday? Was that like almost, you know, 4,500 or something like that?
I don't have the number, but it's like they're back to where they were at their peak. And, you know, when they were shutting everything down, and some of these states are shutting back. Texas is slowing down their reopening. So you're not going to have anybody in those stands, for crying out loud. Let's go back to your phones. Here is Bruce in Boston. Hi, Bruce. What do you got? Jimmy, if you could help me, line three.
Hey, Mike,
Bruce,
I just wanted to bring up Brady, right? So Brady, let me start off by saying this. I believe he's the GOAT, and I appreciate everything he did for us as fans for the last 20 years. But, you know, to put up posts of him doing his workouts, and it's titled, you know, No Excuses. Well, where was that the last couple of years? If he had put that time in with some young guys, then I think that maybe we would have seen better results. So thanks a lot, guys.
No, I love it. Okay, Bruce, great take. No excuses. Like, my wife wants me to help out around the house. Like, I mean, in hindsight, is there anything more blatantly pathetic than that excuse?
No.
That he used, blaming the family for not showing up here in the offseason the last couple of years? That is unseemly. I felt it at the time. I feel it even more today. What happened to all the family time, Tommy? So,
and that was the thing that always bothered me, is that he wouldn't own being the bad guy. He tried to ride the fence on it. Like, he couldn't even answer Scratchy's question. You know, it's like, do you think you're appreciated by Bill Belichick and the Patriots? I plead the fifth. Like, you know, you're unhappy here, dude. So just own it. I would have appreciated more if he was putting up Instagram story posts at the time in the last couple of seasons with hashtag burnt out, or caption like sick of this dick, you know, stuff, those kind of things. It's like, all right, there's the real Brady. I get it.
You know, it's one thing to, like, the fact that he's showing up. It's also the fervor with which he is participating all the time.
He's like 22 again, yeah. Yes.
Right, so that's what it is. It's that as much as he's been totally re-energized. And, but you know what? We knew he would be. We knew that getting out of here and getting away from Bill would fire him up and give him something to prove. This is why it was good for him to get out of here. And in a lot of ways, it's good for the Patriots, too. But there's no question. No, it's not just about him showing up. It's look at the commitment level. Look at the energy. Look at what he's got. Yeah, guys on defense showing up. Like, he is absolutely taking it by the throat.
He's reborn. Doug in Rhode Island on Fans at Fenway. Is that even possible, Doug?
Come on. I mean, you know how this is going to work, how they're going to try to sell it. They're going to try to bring something to MLB that says they're going to have, like, 1,000 seats in the stadium at $5,000 a piece. Each person that buys one gets a brick and maybe a piece that they can kind of share with John Henry as someone wheels them around the stadium. I mean, that's where this is all going, right?
So you think it's just a sell job, Maz? That's what you sort of implied.
I do. I think it was, you know, and again, I don't know, maybe he's leaving open the possibility. Who knows what kind of commitments fans have to make for tickets. They were obviously worried about that going way back when, before the pandemic, it started spring training about the fan interest. It's something they were concerned about at the time. They were having trouble selling tickets at the time. And I think, look, you know, one of Sam's jobs, maybe his biggest job, is to market the team, right? So I think that that's what he was doing. And then John said, well, wait a minute. You just told the players you weren't going to have fans in the stands, and you held them all, you had their heads over a barrel. I mean, if the teams did all of this with the idea of letting fans into the stadium, and I'm a player,
I'd go
on strike.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Like, what were we just doing for the last 6 weeks,
totally.
8 weeks, 3 months? For crying out loud, our long commercial-free segment is next, in which we will take more of your wonderful telephone calls.
Boston's home for sports. Filter's Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. With apologies for the kind of negative tone of this, but as there are so many positive tests for COVID-19 occurring around the majors, why is it a good idea for the league to be restarting right now at a time when we're finding out about all these positive tests?
Yeah, I guess I can start, and then maybe to try and diffuse some of the negativity with a positive answer, and then I'll turn it over to Chaim. Appreciate your question, Alex. On a serious note, obviously we're going through an incredibly difficult time in our country. The virus has infected so many people and caused so much destruction and death around the world. And it's really been painful. Many people on this call have been personally impacted by it. And so it's the exact right question. And I'll tell you that my feeling is that baseball is exactly the right thing for the country right now to help us get back to some sense of normalcy. We need baseball in this country. It's the greatest game ever invented, and I couldn't imagine a summertime without baseball, and specifically baseball at Fenway Park, and hopefully it can provide some small sense of distraction and joy and fun and relief for people who have been locked into their homes and dealing with this really difficult situation. I think baseball has held a very special place in our society when we've come through very difficult times or lived during difficult times, which we are now. And it's important to note that thanks to Major League Baseball, and the Major League Baseball Players Association, who have been working, as everyone in this call knows, for months. We have the most robust health and safety protocols in all of North American sports. That doesn't mean this won't come without risk. It will. We do anticipate having positive tests across the league, but we have protocols in place to deal with those positive tests when and if they arrive. So I think sports are such an important part of our country, and we need sports now in the country more than ever. I hope that it, again, will provide relief for people to get back to live sports, and it really comes at a time when we need that.
Again, more from Sam Kennedy. Again, slow, long-winded, but it's the Red Sox. What do you want? We can talk about that. Talk about the NFL schedule. What are they doing there? What's the NFL doing? They had their executives on a call today saying training camp is scheduled, NFL season as scheduled, fans in the stands. And yet yesterday they turned around and canceled their first preseason game. So they playing some game there. We also talked about the NBA bubble, some players pushing back. And the Bubba Wallace story, the investigation was closed by NASCAR with a few new details, including the pitcher, which we found interesting. We can circle back to that as well. Your calls on all of it. Here's Brian in the car on the NFL, though. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, my thoughts from pretty much the get-go, the entire offseason with the NFL, I should say, is unlike all these other sports, I just feel like there's no timeline for them. You know, no matter what time of year they play, no matter what else is going on in the sports world, they'll dominate, they'll get their ratings. So I always was, you know, confused why they wouldn't be willing to go back to October or November, if necessary, to start their season and try to have as close to a normal season as possible. And I'm wondering if at this point they've just had enough conversations with professionals and things of that nature that they just know that there's no short-term time frame here where they're ever going to be able to get fans in the stands, and that's why they're pushing forward so fast.
So, Brian, it's an interesting point. You know, hockey and basketball is going to feel weird in August. It just is. It's not going to feel right. Maybe, you know, viewership will suffer because of it. If they play NFL football in March, no one will even notice. No one will even care. It's not going to feel weird. It's going to feel amazing. Right, so they easily could push that thing back. I am curious why they are so reluctant to do so. If there's a business reason or a timing reason for them not to want to go deeper into February, call it. You know, I
don't know. I mean, maybe they're worried about losing too many games to the point where, you know, they can't fit them in around the Super Bowl, or maybe it's related to losing the Super Bowl. I don't know, but clearly it's got to be some sort of financial decision, right, or factor. Otherwise, why would they be doing it?
Okay, Mike and Woburn, what do you got today, Mike, on Bubba Wallace?
Listen, I think we're all happy with two things about this. One, that it doesn't seem to be like a targeted hate crime. And B, NASCAR's response with all the drivers rallying around him, those were good things. But none of that happens if NASCAR doesn't do the right thing, which I think is the biggest long shot that happened here. They didn't call Roscoe and Enos to investigate it. They didn't call Mayberry PD. They didn't hire Exponent to give them the result they wanted. They got the FBI immediately and said, find out what happened. We don't care what you come up with. Find out what happened. Because if they don't do that, we're still talking about who did what and why. And now we're just in the stupid, we're in a reflection of the times we live in, which is, you know, just completely smothered in stupidity, whether it was an actual working noose or if it wasn't a noose. It was close enough to get the desired effect if you're a hateful bigot, which is, I think, the point that everybody is you know, harping on now, which they should. Why was it there? I know you guys talked about the Halloween thing before, but I mean, God, you've got this guy. Is he the only African American driver on the NASCAR? I'm not Apparently. A NASCAR fan, so I don't know. Check the freaking stall before he gets there. Make sure that isn't there. You know,
right?
We're in a very sensitive time right now. Make sure that. But at least I'll give him credit for hiring the FBI. That was a big step to not making things worse than they already are.
I think soup to nuts that NASCAR distinguished themselves. And I think what they're doing right now is at some risk to their business. We mentioned this earlier. You know,
definitely.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think a large part of their base, a large part of their core audience are white Southern racists. It just is. They just are.
And you want to get an argument for me on that?
Well, no. And Mike, thanks for the call, Jimmy. You can drop him. And so by banning that flag, they're alienating their core audience. Now, their core audience are heinous and believe in the wrong thing, and you don't want to be associated with them. But business is business, you know? And that Confederate flag thing, they are going to lose fans off of that. And so they're putting their money where their mouth is. And I think that's, to me, that's the surest sign. Now, in this incident, they probably overreacted a little, but they overreacted on the side of their minority driver, which is a great thing. It's a great, you know, if you're going to err on either side, err on that side. And so maybe they did a little bit, but so be it. They stood by their guy. They supported their guy. And they're putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to that flag. Like, I think NASCAR's really distinguished themselves. I, you know, it's still not going to get me to watch. Like, I still can't, the sport does nothing for me. I don't know how it's going to grow. You know, we had a caller before say that this is actually going to grow the sport. People are going to come to the sport because they've handled it so well. And I,
yeah,
you
no,
know,
no shot for me.
Right. I mean, I'm one of those who thinks they've handled it well. I'm, you know, I think they've done a really good job here and stood on the right thing of it, and they deserve a lot of credit. But it ain't going to get me to watch guys make four left turns all day.
I better just chance that I watch marble racing.
Exactly. And I do think they're going to lose business because they're going to lose part of their base. So they're sacrificing something there. We will continue. Pick this right back up after 90 seconds. No commercials. Just an update here from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.